everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. So the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'm interviewing Matthew Russo of Gimbal, which is a mobile ad startup that seems to be just blowing up. They help brands use mobile data in a more precise way to serve more relevant ads to individuals. And it seems to be working. Their clients include McDonald's, Ford, Chase, Jeep, Chrysler, Coca-Cola, United Healthcare, and many more. So when I caught up with Matt on Skype, we talked about something that we've never talked about on this podcast before. And as a result, you'll notice that the format is just a little bit different because of that. He's not a freelancer, he's not a web designer, and he's not a web developer. Matt is the chief revenue officer for Gimbal, and we talked about how they use Divi as an in-house tool, an enterprise-level solution for their website and their marketing needs. So all that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. Matt, welcome to Divi Nation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So you're just telling me that you're actually from the little town that I now live in, which is like part of Columbus. So that's really cool to hear.
It's true.
That's awesome. Yeah. So
moved out to LA about just under a year and a half ago now. So
what a small world.
Small world. Crazy.
Always cool to meet people from Columbus. So real quick, for those who are not familiar with you from our blog a while back, it has been a little while now. Yeah. Introduce yourself and the company you're representing.
Totally. Yeah. So my name is Matt Russo. I am currently the chief revenue officer of a company called Gimbal, which actually as of recently was two companies previously. Mm. So in December of last year, we acquired a company. And when I say we, the company that I was working for and still work for was called The Mobile Majority. So we were a mobile advertising execution platform. So we serve mobile ads and have the technology and the DSP, DMP, all those good acronyms to serve really awesome mobile ad campaigns for big clients, big brands, and big agencies around the world.
Go ahead. I was just saying, on your website, I'm seeing you guys have some large clients, Chrysler, McDonald's, United Healthcare, Jeep, Ford, Chase, Coca-Cola. I mean, yeah, this is an enterprise service for sure. Like, they don't get much bigger than that, if at all.
No, totally. Yeah, absolutely. And so, we had the good fortune of coming together with another San Diego-based company called Gimbal, actually. They were born out of Qualcomm a handful of years ago.
Oh, cool.
And so they have a lot of, hardware and SDK expertise, specifically around the location management and location data play. And so bringing those two companies together was is and continues to be a really fun exercise, albeit a lot of work. But the overall value offering for our big clients like that, as well as even smaller and more mid-tier brands and agencies, is really, the potential is huge, right? And that's why we decided to bring those two companies together. And so at that time, we were chatting a little bit previously. Mm-hmm. I'll give a little bit of my background first. So the reason I got in touch with Elegant Themes back in the day was when I was actually still in Columbus, I was doing my own thing and also was helping another agency, local agency in Columbus, mm-hmm. kind of build out their offering. And we were doing everything from email marketing to website builds to social media strategy for a handful of clients mm-hmm. in Columbus as well as nationwide. And so I got a lot of repetitions on building out both web strategy and the implementations of those sites. Mm-hmm. 99% of them were on WordPress. And, over time you test a lot of themes and theme shops. And, back in the day for us, it was a lot of Vertex and Foxy and Nimble and all those, old school ones. I grew to love Elegant Themes and all the stuff that you guys had going on. And then when I actually remember when Divi was launched, I don't know mm-hmm. how many years ago now, started using that and continuing to watch that evolve, basically, got me drunk on the Kool-Aid and you know, I really haven't looked back since. So kind of to come full circle, when I joined the Mobile Majority about a year and a half, actually 2.5 years ago, I was brought on as the head of marketing. Mm. And one of my first major tasks was to rebuild the old site, and chose Divi straight out of the gate. Basically chose to create a child theme. Mm-hmm. So used all the core functionality from Divi, yep. And then, you know, worked to customize that. And then, since we brought the two companies together, over the past couple of months, we've been working. So Gimbal.com was previously on its own domain with its own theme. Mm-hmm. And then Majority.co was on Divi, the content that I had produced when I first joined. And so we've been bringing those two pieces together, both from a, you know, site architecture and content standpoint, as well as look and feel. And that was all taken care of by our creative team, and they did a fantastic job of that, I
think. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, the site looks great. If anybody wants to check it out, it's gimbal.com, G-I-M-B-A-L. And it's got all the hallmarks of just like a really slick, well-designed site that, you know, puts that sort of like design first mentality of, this is not just for getting someone to get all the information crammed in there. It's just very beautifully laid out, and it uses a lot of the features that Divi really shines for having. And I love it. I think it looks awesome. You guys did an awesome job.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was not an easy task, and this isn't to pat any of our team on the back too hard, but when we thought through like how we were going to bring these two websites together, we had two pretty distinct audiences. And so, you know, the first piece that we really had to think through was that site architecture. Mm-hmm. And what we should make, you know, first and foremost on the site. Mm-hmm. And what we shouldn't, right? Because to your point, you know, if you throw everything up on a website, it just becomes overwhelming, and people yep. don't know where to go or what to look at or what's important. And so we tried to, as much as we can, define by both audience type as well as, you know, product offering. And sure. I think the solution that we came up with was pretty elegant. And that's, to me, that's always the cool part about A, being able to drive that, and B, you know, we were chatting about this briefly before, you know, because it was myself and the marketing team and the creative team here leading mm-hmm. this charge, it wasn't an external company who we had, you know, kind of hired, because we can mold those things and kind of massage it over time. You know, nothing is set in stone, I think, in a good way, right? Like, if yeah. we see trends in Google Analytics or other places where we're getting feedback from the market, oh, we need to place more of an emphasis here, let's put that in the navigation. Or this page looks confusing based on site usage, let's swap that around and make the, you know, on-site navigation a little bit clearer.
Absolutely. So it's a good one. You've mentioned a couple of things that I'd like for us to slow down and visit. Is sure. One is the merging of two sites, one that's Divi and one that's not Divi. You know, we've kind of got your history here. We know that you've got, you know, a bit of a design and marketing background. You're not a developer, correct? But like many of the people in the community, you're pretty handy with some CSS and HTML. So, and sounds like you have all the tools you need to create your Divi child themes and stuff like that. So you're definitely in the category that I would consider is the biggest category of our audience and our users personally. And it's interesting. I'm sure people are going to run into this with their clients or potential clients, is that they're trying to convert someone to Divi, or they're merging two websites for a client. Can you maybe like just give us a kind of idea of what that process is like in more detail, and kind of make sure that everybody knows how you approach it? Because I find that process really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So, post acquisition, we obviously had access to both websites, and the first thing that we did was we got in and, you know, basically did a content audit for both sides of, you know, both websites. And so we looked at, you know, everything from the site navigation to, again, Google Analytics to figure mm-hmm. out which pages were the most visited, which ones were the most interesting or applicable for the business case. And then we started to create, I forget exactly which tool, you know, any of those mind mapping tools, or you could even do it in Google Slides or whatever, kind of laying out the two separate sites kind of side by side. And then what we did is actually merged those together and said, based on, again, the combined audiences that we have, you know, which pages are going to be the most useful and which ones do we want to make most prominent, and which ones are not useful at all, let's totally ditch them and actually get rid of them. which ones are still useful from maybe an SEO standpoint or even like a secondary content standpoint, but we don't necessarily want to make them prominent in the navigation or on, you know, specific pages. So it, again, we kind of, you know, brought it all together, massaged it until it kind of looked good and felt good. And then we kind of set down that path to begin executing. On a little bit more tactical level, so the former Gimbal.com site was on a separate web host. We actually had the advantage because Majority.co was on WP Engine, is our host of choice. They have a really great tool to duplicate any WordPress instance that you have. So we used that as the foundation. So we actually had our content as kind of the primary. Okay. And then we looped in the old Gimbal.com content pages. And then we also had to look at any net new pages that need to be created. We would create those from scratch and work those into the site navigation that we had mapped out previously.
So it was so it sounds like you focused on the content first, get everything on one install, weed out everything that's unnecessary. What did you do then? Because I'm assuming it was only after you figured out what the content you needed was, what the final version of content was, that you just started to actually do all the designing? Or was that going on at the same time?
Yeah, it was a little simultaneous. So as we were mapping out all this content stuff, our creative team was literally going through a brand new redesign of the entire brand. Yeah, everything from the logo to the fonts to the color palette to all the custom iconography that you see. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, because of my design background, I would have loved to say, here are the 100 pages that we need to redesign. Let's do a Photoshop layout for each one and, you know, go through page by page and create all that custom and all the, you know, content and blurbs. But honestly, we just didn't have the time to do it. So, and also because, right, because each of those sites in, operating independently already had some link juice and, you know, SEO juice associated with them, it didn't make sense to go and tear those down and rebuild from scratch everything. It would have been way too time consuming. So we kind of used what was there as the baseline. And then, you know, if and when it made sense to adjust content based on the new site organization or, you know, update a blurb and add a new content or a icon there, we were kind of doing that in tandem. And again, I think it goes to, you know, everybody likes to think that, oh, if you just go and hire something out, it'll get done faster and the experts know how. But I also think that breeds a level of like inflexibility. So that, you know, when changes come up on the fly or you're like, wow, this really doesn't look how I thought it was going to look, you have the ability to adjust it in real time and not have to, you know, go through another round of revisions or another, you know, delay. And you can do it in real time, especially through the Divi theme. Yeah.
And I think my personal experience, too, is, you know, I have side projects that I love to do where I build, you know, I have an idea, I'll build out a website for it, or I'll work with somebody else who I think, you know, because I got a full-time gig here. I'm not looking to, you know, do web design full-time, but it's still one of my passions, so I do it. And what I found is that if you take on the responsibility of building your own website in a lot of cases, you actually have a more thorough understanding of your business because the process of creating a website that serves your business needs forces you to understand it on a much more granular level. And if you can take that, I mean, sounds like what you guys do in general is it's all, you know, analytics and data and creating campaigns based on, you know, like very, very good insights on that data. You can do the same thing with just your website. And I'd love to know, maybe we can get into it here, how you guys use the data you gather, either maybe from Divi split testing or just analytics and or the way that you guys have designed things to make tweaks to your own site and business to get those big fish clients that you guys have, or if that's a completely different process, I would be interested in hearing.
Yeah, no, those are great questions.
But just to finish this thought, I think having that knowledge of your own website and your own setup is helpful at the very least. And for some businesses, especially small businesses, maybe even essential. So.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I could agree more. And honestly, when I originally brought on our first marketing, you know, team member back a few years ago, you know, it was very much that person was A, learning about the industry, but also learning about the business too, right? Mm-hmm. And so now that person and the creative team was much more involved in the iteration of this website. Yeah, I 100% agree with everything that you're saying. Like, literally down to the forms that we were using and how we were routing people to those forms and where those forms go to after they submit. Again, like, you need to know how the business is structured and the information that's relevant to each of those potential types of customers, because that data is different from line to line and what that buyer persona is after, mm-hmm. and also where that data gets pumped to. We're a Salesforce shop on the back end for a CRM.
Yep.
But we are also, again, you know, showing, I think, a little bit of my WordPress shops, like we're primarily open source, meaning so we're huge Gravity Forms users.
Oh, cool.
But we also pay for the enterprise side of that, which is not expensive. I would suggest to anybody, it's worth the money.
Oh, wow.
Because of all the integrations that you get off of that. So we connect literally every Gravity Form to
Salesforce.
And so we do actually a lot of our stuff, both on the marketing site, like we're talking about today, as well mm-hmm. as some internal stuff on the operations side, through Zapier.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So we route as much information as is useful to places like Salesforce. We use Trello internally for project management. Mm-hmm. We use Freshdesk currently for ticketing. So yeah, it's pretty dynamic. And
for those who don't know, I want to make sure everybody knows what Zapier is. Zapier is an automation service that allows you to create or to identify triggers. So for instance, if somebody fills out a form, Zapier will make sure that that information gets put into Salesforce and maybe pings you with an email or something like that. It's a set of actions and triggers that you can apply to different services that are normally not connected. So just to make sure yep. everybody knows what that is.
Yeah, totally. I just assume sometimes, but yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. So, yeah, so in terms of like how we set up the site and you know how we route all that stuff, it for sure makes sense to have as many people, especially at an organization like ours. You know, we have 100 people now across all of the teams and all of the different departments and business units. But as much as we can involve people like marketing, our sales operations team, our creative team, so that they know it's not just a website or a web page that you're building.
Yeah.
Here's the purpose for it. Here's who it's targeted towards. Here's what we're going to do from an SEO standpoint. Here's all the other marketing initiatives like email mm-hmm. blasts, social, and all that stuff, so that everybody knows here's what the inputs are and here's what the yeah. ideal outputs are, so that you can put all the information in the right place.
Yep. Yeah, I find in business and web design, no matter what you're doing, knowing your objective and is like the key, right? Like, so if you're designing a page or your website and you don't know the objective of it, it's going to be a mess.
Yep.
So that's, totally. It's always good to have that in mind. So one thing, another element that you mentioned earlier that I want to get back into is just maybe highlighting how you guys use Divi internally, or going into detail about the changes you make or how you things you learn and then the changes you're able to make in-house with Divi, I guess. So like based yeah. on your own analytics or own user data.
Sure. I mean, we run a really agile team, you know, not just from the technology side, from the marketing side as well. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively small team, even though our organization is pretty large. Again, we use WP Engine as our host. And so we do have a staging environment set up. I wish I could say that we are more pragmatic about using that staging environment as much as we should. So often, which means oftentimes, you know, when we see something that needs updating or a tweak that we think needs to be made or a new page that needs to be created, we're actually doing it on live. We aren't pushing it to staging or, you know, doing it on staging and yeah. pushing it to production. Again, it's more of a speed of change that we need to make. But for larger things, especially when we were, you know, pre-launch, we were doing everything, you know, over on staging, you know, mm-hmm. setting it up, making sure that all the bells and whistles are working properly. And then we would, you know, we had a big push live and, you know, we do, I make it sound like we do everything internally. You know, when we were bringing those two websites together and then relaunching under one domain, we did bring in some outside help to make sure we weren't going to jeopardize any of the SEO that we right. had in place, because that's the worst thing you can do, right?
Yeah.
These sites had 3 or 4 years worth of content and inbound links and stuff. So, you know, it would have been silly to just say, yeah, cool, we can handle all this and not do that. When it comes from a Divi standpoint, though, it's a pretty fluid process. We work closely with our product team in figuring out what's coming down the pipeline from new products and features on either side of our either location management or mobile media execution platforms. Mm-hmm. And then we are often building either landing pages dedicated to those products or features, or looping them into some of the bigger pages that we already have outlined across the platform. And again, so what we were talking about earlier, we don't want to hit everybody with everything we can do because that would be totally overwhelming. And it would also make for really, really long web pages. So we have to kind of pick and choose, okay, this new feature is applicable to this piece of the overall platform. Let's insert a link here. Let's add a widget or a module to this technology page, because it warrants a standalone, section with its own icon so that people can more easily find it. And then again, to your point earlier, thinking through who's going to click on that, what landing page are they going to get to, and what's the ultimate outcome that we want them to do? Do we want them to download a PDF or a white paper? Do we want them to reach out? What are the next steps that we want them to take?
Yeah, very cool. Do you guys use Divi Leads at all?
We have not. And I heard you say A/B testing as well. We are not that far down the path either. It's mostly for the page builder and for all the modules that we can, chuck in there as quickly as possible without, breaking a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, totally. I would encourage it. In-house, we always talk about how Divi Leads is maybe on par with, like, as far as the power and usefulness, is the same as the Divi library, but it gets a fraction of the love. I think because it's so tightly integrated, it's kind of an invisible feature, because it's just like a right-click feature, or page settings on the back end. So if you get a chance, highly recommend it.
For sure.
So let's talk about any other uses of Divi that you guys have found, or ways in which Divi has kind of empowered your business to actually function, I guess, uniquely or more frictionlessly than it otherwise would?
Yeah, for sure. The one that comes to mind is, as we were figuring out what this new site was going to look like, eventually once we kind of had the site architecture figured out, it was a lot of, and I know, I feel like templates have a really bad name in WordPress. Mm-hmm. Most, especially if you're, a WordPress developer and you're working with small or medium sized companies and building out their websites, nobody wants to buy a template, right? I used to hear that in the agency world over and over again. No, we want a custom
website. It's got to be custom. Like, yeah.
It'll be custom, but what the piece that we used over and over again was the Divi library, right? Oh, yeah. So we would have, we basically define, and you guys can go to our website and see what we built out on the main pages, which is kind of a header, and then figuring out what that looks like down below. But once we set up that basic framework for the pages, we would save that to the Divi library, and instead of having to rebuild and redrag and reorder all of the columns and all the modules, we would just load up that widget. Obviously, we'd have the previous pages content in it, but it was super easy to just bang those out and say, have a starting point that was super flexible, but also not so granular that it was unmanageable either. It sped up our development process infinitely. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. This is a topic, or this is just a whole series of mini topics that it's cool. We don't really get to talk about a lot because we don't talk to a lot of people who are doing like enterprise level businesses. It's usually web designers who are designing for small to medium sized businesses, or DIY business owners who are like, I got my solopreneur site up, sort of like what you used to do, where you're running your own business. You had your own site and services. But what I think is really interesting about this is it shows the flexibility and the power of something that allows a large business to bring more in-house. There's that trend of outsource everything but essential stuff, but sometimes the nimbleness of being able to make these changes and understand your site and understand your business on that granular level, I think is pretty neat. I don't know any other way that a lot of people are going to be able to do that, which is cool.
No, I totally agree. I mean, look, the show is about Divi, so I'll toot the horn as much as possible. But like, when I think about a lot of the themes and theme shops that are out there, to your point, I think a lot of them are fine for, sites that have 10 or 15 or maybe 50 pages, right? Mm-hmm. But when you get to the enterprise level, I will say that like Divi does have the functionality that can support that kind of stuff, A, in the way it was architected, and B, in some of the features that were built out most small companies and even small developers, and to your point earlier, like I'm not even taking advantage of all the features that Divi has baked into it. And so I feel like it's awesome that you know, small groups can use it in that way. But I would also, I mean, I think we're a proof case that it's totally scalable to that point. Will we get to a point where things, where we need more functionality? Sure, but also we have a technology team. And that was actually something I want to talk about. You know, when I came in as head of marketing, then I transitioned to the chief operating officer. But my, you know, all enterprise business companies, one of my big charters was like, how can we do more with less? Specifically less requirements or needs from the technology team, right? They have their own charter in building out our own platform so that it has all the features and products it needs. Mm-hmm. Could they do custom stuff for our marketing website? Of course, they have that skill set. They do it all day long.
But this just takes that off their plate completely. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So if this gets us 90 or 95% of the way there, that's a huge win. And it facilitates, you know, all of our other teams to focus on the things that they should be focusing on.
So what kind of things would you say to other folks who are in your position at other companies who are looking to solve some of the same problems that you've had to solve? What are some tips or resources or just ways of thinking that you would promote?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's dependent on the individual organization. You know, I came at this because of my background, right? Mm-hmm. If I didn't spend time at agencies and I didn't spend time building my websites, I probably would have said, yeah, cool, outsource it. Find somebody locally who will come in and do this for a couple months and then we'll have it off our plate. But again, to me, it's much more sustainable to be doing it yourselves, and A, from a speed standpoint, and B, from just a internal knowledge of how everything is set up and how the website continues to evolve. Otherwise, you're just down the path of continually outsourcing it, and it gets more and more removed from, you know, the business that it's actually supporting.
Yeah, well, that's another question. Is that we didn't bring up cost yet, but in an enterprise level businesses, cost is typically less of an issue than with smaller mom and pop or solopreneur stuff or startups. Did you find a significant cost benefit, or was this just not really in the equation? How did that factor into your guys' decisions?
Yeah, look, even though we're a 100-person company, we're still a startup. We still, you know, have budgets to maintain. And and again, it's not like, you know, my time or our marketing team or creative team's time is free. But that said, it doesn't come with an additional hard cost either. So we kind of did an internal evaluation on, you know, if this takes us a month to launch and we're just using internal resources, what else is going to have to take a backseat in that meantime? But also, where else, you know, if we spent $20,000 or $30,000 in outsourcing this, where else could we have put that money internally now to support other initiatives that we have going on? So yeah, we looked at all those options. Again, just because of my background, I was more inclined to take this on internally than I was to kind of shop it out and ship it out. Because again, because we had that experience with Divi on our previous site, it would have been really foreign to say, we're gonna outsource this, go build it in something custom or another theme or whatever, and then they hand it back over and now you have to drive a car that you are totally unfamiliar with and maybe drives on the other side of the road.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes perfect sense. Well, do you have any other things that you want to mention in terms of the way that you guys operate and lessons you've learned? Because so far, I think we've covered a lot of ground. I just don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is a Divi podcast and video.
Oh, no. Bring it up. What do you got?
No, I mean, again, like, because of my agency background and, you know, because of a lot of the websites that I built previously, you know, I've tested everything from, you know, social plugins to integrations to different themes and stuff. And so we're big Bloom users on the site.
Oh, great. That's
and
awesome.
And we're also Monarch users as well. So, you know, again, it's a little self-promotional for you guys, but I think that's the point. Like, we are not obviously exclusively an elegant theme shop. Like, we have a lot of other plugins that we run, but like everything that you guys are producing right now supports, you know, all the other products that you guys have going. And also, like, it just works, right? Like, I can't think of a time when, you know, something that you guys have produced didn't work like it was supposed to. And, you know, works, you know, part of, you know, when I was at the agency world, a lot of time was spent debugging, like, oh man, this thing's not working like it's supposed to. There's probably a plugin, you know, conflict, go and deactivate a whole bunch of crap. I can't remember the last time when that was an elegant theme issue. So yeah, I would say shout out to your developers. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Let's I would say keep it going. So.
Got to give love to the developers as often as possible. Those guys are magicians as far as I'm concerned. They do a fantastic job. And for those interested, we did just push some updates to Bloom and Monarch, and we've got some more stuff coming for those as well in the near future. So that's exciting stuff for anybody who's building email lists or really trying to boost their social presence. So, well, Matt, I think we've covered everything I wanted to talk about. I'm glad that you seem to have covered the stuff you did too. I just want to thank you for coming on the show and taking the time to do this.
Of course, man. Enjoy Central Ohio.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks everyone for tuning in. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Matthew Russo, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave those questions in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. And as always, I'll be back here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.